Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE, and on this podcast, we feature a conversation with Kevin Maroney, Vice Provost for Information Technology and CIO for the Pennsylvania State University. In our interview, he discusses his concerns for the future of enterprise IT and how he sees the changing skill sets of his IT staff. Well, the subject matter of this conference is enterprise, so I'm wondering what some of your biggest concerns are regarding the future of enterprise IT. What keeps you up at night?
Well, there's multiple dimensions to why enterprise IT would keep any CIO on any campus up at night. And I don't think they're too dissimilar for other parts of the enterprise. I mean, as the world has gotten flat, I think the differentiation in problems might just be an illusion across what we would consider to be traditionally enterprise IT from even scholarly IT. So in that realm, I would suggest that some of the bigger challenges are the speed with which we can react to various external forces. Speed's going to be important, but that's difficult to do when you're moving around infrastructure. Speed and infrastructure are usually not two words that appear in the same sentence unless you're responding to a question like this. There are also compliance vectors that have to be concerned with, that a campus has to be concerned with. And I think that a big challenge there is convincing an institution that the cost of compliance is just something that's going to rise and there isn't a whole lot that we can do about it. Clearly, we may be able to achieve efficiencies in other portions of the enterprise to help pay for the cost of compliance, but that this is something that doesn't go away. It's kind of like security. Compliance and security are gifts that just keep on giving.
Well, a lot of the people I interview about the future of higher education, not just enterprise systems, talk about the loss of control with mobile devices and apps in the cloud, software service. And I'm wondering, does this concern you, or is this something that is much ado about nothing? What are your feelings about this idea of loss of control?
I think control has always been an illusion. I think what's happening to us now is the degree, intensity, and scale of change makes us feel as though we're losing control faster than we'd like to, but we've never had as much control as I think we thought we ever had. So for my money, we're actually getting perhaps a normalization on perspective. Even if you look back years and years ago, and we still do this, if you have an integrated solution whose software is provided by another vendor, you don't really have as much control as you might think. You might be running a portion of the stack, but fundamentally, you don't have control over software development like you want to. When's the last time your requirements list was first among non-equals when we compare higher education and the revenue that it creates in a variety of market verticals? As Greg Jackson had pointed out, we don't have a whole lot of leverage. So we have to look for interesting and creative ways to create that leverage. And I think Brad talked about it in his session too, is that, you know, through aggregation, we might be able to very well create leverage in a variety of different ways. So loss of control, we never had it. Now, having said that, there's a new threat. Well, I should say it's an old threat in new clothing that kind of relates to the loss of control issue, and it's not too dissimilar from the move from a mainframe environment to client-server, from client-server to web, mm-hmm. Now web to more mobile, and that is the dominant vendors in any one of those spaces want to own the middle and back end by appealing to the edge. And the edge is different now because the edge, maybe 10 years ago, was the enterprise IT leader, and now the edge is the consumer. So the mass on the edge that is driving this potential balkanization of access to services is a scale at which we've never seen before, but it's a problem we've seen before. So to go back 10 years, the issue arguably comes down to your OS browser support matrix for the web. Was it going to be, you know, Internet Explorer, Mozilla, Netscape? You know, how many browsers were you going to support? How many OSs are you going to support? Well, we have the same problem in the mobile marketplace, but it's not a 4x3 matrix. It's a 11x11 right now, just as it was with the web many years ago. It shrinks down to about a 3x3. And the risk we run right now is, as it shrinks down to 3x3, are we going to end up in consumer IT environments that drive enterprise IT environments that say, if you own this kind of device running this kind of software, you can get access to these kinds of things? And so that balkanization is something that we need to work very hard as enterprise IT leaders, but also as consumers and citizens. Because the edge is at the consumer layer and at the citizen layer, we really need to think about messaging on this differently. And that's not a higher ed problem. That's a global problem.
Are you an advocate for the mobile web rather than apps? What do you think can address some of these problems?
Certainly open standards adoption is our friend in these spaces and always have been. So I think higher ed has a long history of strategic and intense and almost spiritual embracing of open standards. And it's a good thing because other marketplaces are looking for the quick quarter turnaround, and we know we can't afford that, right? We have to flatten the world out, and open standards tend to do that. Open standards in the mobile in the mobile app development native don't really exist. Some might claim they do, but I would claim that they don't. I think that, those are red herrings in the conversation. Mobile web development certainly is a tactic that I think we should be embracing to help flatten that out.
So, sure. Apps, you have like gatekeepers as well.
Absolutely, both in terms of technology, nature of service provisioning, and even censorship.
Yeah.
Right, and these are all things that are diametrically opposed to the culture of higher ed. So we have a role to play in this. Mm-hmm. We're not a big, by any stretch of the imagination, a big fish in that sea. But nor were we in the browser wars, right? And I think higher ed had a lot to do with introducing open standards in the web space. You know, I have a biased view. I've been in higher ed a long time. But the roots, certainly, of Mozilla and the embracing of then Firefox really could arguably, I think a case could be made that higher ed had a role to play in that.
How does the future of enterprise IT and vendor relations as well change the way you relate to your staff and the skill sets you look for in new hires?
If I can maybe generalize this a little bit, one of the things that we've been saying to our new hires for the last about 5 years, new hires outside of the institution, that we hired you for what you know, but we're going to keep you around for what you can know. And it's not a hard and fast metric, but about every 3 years, 30% of your skills portfolio should be turning over. Mine certainly is. Maybe not in a skill sense for somebody in my position, but certainly in the content that I'm dealing with. If that's not turning over about 30% every 3 years, I'm probably not doing my job. So we ask the same of our incoming employees, are trying to move our employees who perhaps were hired under a different set of environmental circumstances. And I think a challenge there is, for some employees, there's an expectation that management will plot their career path for them, and it's got to be a partnership. Management can't be the expert on what the future skill set is needed for. Let's just look at a programmer, for example, right? A manager of programmers might have some experience in that, but you know, if somebody is waiting for their manager to tell them that I should learn Python and reject Perl, and I don't want to start a religious war here, but if that, you know, that has to come from the skilled employee to say, hey, I see this as an important part of our development future. Let's work together to plot a course for me to learn Python. And that's a very narrow example. But I think this is true up and down the stack, that we have to create that partnership between employee and management to craft that future. So it's this willingness to constantly change what I know. The information, the relevant skills and relevant information in our business turns over as fast as any other that I can see.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry.
Kevin Maroney, Vice Provost for Information Technology and CIO for the Pennsylvania State University. EDUCAUSE podcasts are sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for EDUCAUSE. Thanks for listening.